Welcome to your favorite F-word podcast, where we dive deep into conversations around food, fitness, feelings, with the occasional fuck thrown in. We're your hosts, Sarah
and Nicola,
owners of Paradigm Nutrition and Performance, nutrition coaches, besties, and most importantly, humans.
This show is for coaches, self-growth-oriented folks, active humans, or anyone looking to deepen their understanding and relationship with food, movement, and themselves.
Thanks for tuning in, and we cannot wait to share this space with you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Your Favorite F Word. We're here today to talk about, and it's mostly going to be me talking, I guess, but Nicola's here to ask questions and give, you know, differing opinions from a different experience, but we're going to talk about pregnancy, and I'm just going to kind of dive into my experience so far in the 23 weeks that I've been pregnant. It's definitely been a roller coaster. There's been so many unexpected things pop up, and things that I've felt maybe a little bit alone in or felt like shame or guilt around. So I think I wanted to record this episode just so that anyone who's in a similar situation can get some insight and hopefully feel a little bit less alone on some of the weird shit that is happening right now.
Yeah. So kind of more like of a personal take of your own,
my own experience
rather than like, you know, science or making recommendations for others.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, where do you want to start? From the origins of pre-baby?
Yeah.
We call it PB.
PB. Pre-baby. Yeah, I kind of just like laid things out here in like the order of events that have happened so far. So the first order of event, I guess, was, okay, let's decide to have a baby. Which,
so for you guys, it was like a conscious decision. You were, yes, like, we're going to start trying.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that had been a conversation for quite a while. Not necessarily that we wanted to start trying when we started having the conversation, but just like around when we would. And so we got married in September, and we kind of knew like our friends were going to be all having babies soon. And, I knew that I like wanted to start and be done having babies by a certain age, in my head at least. So we kind of like worked backwards from there, and we were like, okay, we're going to start trying in 2024. And then we also have had a lot of friends who have had troubles getting pregnant, who have had miscarriages and stuff like that. So we were like, okay, what is like the earliest that we would be quote unquote ready? Mm-hmm. And we decided that was February. And so we decided to start trying in February, and we were very lucky, and we got pregnant on our first try.
Wow.
Which was, mm-hmm, absolutely wild.
Yeah, probably kind of like shocking, I bet.
It was shocking. Like, I remember peeing on that strip, and like that second line showed up, and I was like, what? And then,
wait, all of a sudden you're not ready. You're like, wait.
Yeah, like it's so weird because you just, it is hard to get pregnant for a lot of people. And like I said, we have had so many friends who have tried for years, who have gone through fertility treatments, who have, you know, just had so many struggles on this journey. And so you expect like the best case scenario, you're like, oh, it's going to take like 3 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's kind of like the timeline that I had in my head. I was like 3 to 6 months, whatever. And then, yeah, when I saw that, I was like in shock, and I didn't share it with Brad right away because my period was late and I was like literally in shock. I was like still processing it. And I was like,
mm-hmm,
I didn't feel happy. I didn't feel sad. I kind of just like felt like numb.
Yeah.
It was really weird. I see all these videos of these girls like reading their pregnancy thing and like seeing that they're pregnant. And I'm like, did you record this in real time? Like, was that your actual reaction?
No, there's no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're like immediately over the moon. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that could be some people's experience, especially if like they were, sure, someone who was trying for a while. But I can,
yeah,
I mean, I personally could probably more relate to like the shock.
Yeah.
Than,
for sure,
anything.
And I think too, because like before I met Brad, I did not want kids. Like I have not spent my life like wanting to be a mom. There was a period of time before my ex that I wanted kids, and then my ex didn't want kids. So I kind of like got it out of my head. And so I think that there was like a piece of that too, of like, once you see that second line, you're like, wow, my life is forever changed.
Totally. It's a very momentous occasion, to say the least.
For sure.
Like, I don't think I've ever had like such a specific like yes or no result coming my way that would like forever change the trajectory. Like, it's a very unique experience in that way.
Absolutely. Like, I don't know if there's many other experiences like that, you know? And I obviously literally can't think after of any. Yeah, after that test, like there's still so many things that can happen. But yeah, so I didn't share it with Brad, and I was like, just the day.
I did it in the morning,
so like, and then I took another one in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But like, I was so grumpy with Brad all day. And like, I was like everything he was doing was annoying me that day. And then I got to the point where I was like, okay, I need to tell him, because obviously like I'm having like these feelings that I'm like projecting onto like shit that doesn't matter. So I like came downstairs and I like showed him the thing, and I was like, my period's late. And he was like, what? And we were both just kind of like stared at each other, and we're like just in shock. And like,
I need an adult.
What to do?
I need an adult. What do we do?
Seriously. And then he like hugged me and stuff. And like, for Brad, it wasn't real until our first ultrasound. Like, I went to the doctor, we did the pee test. They were like, the doctor said to both of us, like, yes, you are pregnant. Like, you know, and even to me, there was like a piece that didn't really feel real until even like a few weeks ago, honestly. But like, for Brad,
it's more and more real.
Yeah. For Brad, I think he was like, it just like didn't seem real for a while. So that was the experience. It definitely wasn't the like, oh my God, I'm so happy, and I'm going to do this cute thing to like tell my husband that I'm pregnant, and it's like all sunshine and rainbows. Like, it was not that experience at all.
And like, do people think about that and plan like for how they're going to tell them in advance? I'm very curious now. This is something I've never spent a single second thinking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be such like a weird, you can't predict how you're going to react when you finally see like the positive come back.
No.
So like, how would you know how you wanted to do it unless you had planned it? And then regardless of how you felt, you're like, well, this is how I'm going to tell them.
Right. I don't know. I think that if you're someone who's like wanted this for a long time, like that might be different. Or if you've been trying for a long time, you might like have different feelings about it, and you might have a little bit more of a plan. And part of me, like, I definitely had guilt around not feeling excited originally.
Totally. Like,
and it's so weird because Brad was the only person who knew, right? Like, 3 days after I found out, I was like, babe, I have to text one of the girls from the gym. Her name's Rachel. She was a client of mine for a long time. She's a mom. And I was like, I need to tell someone. Like, Rachel is like far removed from like our life and our whatever. And I know she won't tell anyone, but I was like, I'm fucking dying because like, you don't get it. Like, you don't understand. And I was like, I need to. So I texted her, and we were chatting, and she was like, honestly, with my first, I didn't even feel emotionally connected to him till he was like 3 months old.
Whoa.
And I was like, okay, this makes me feel so much better.
Yeah.
Cause there's like that guilt that you're not like so fucking ecstatic, you know?
But like a very normal thing to not be able to jump right to happiness and to actually be like thinking about
how your life
all
is
all of the other things. Happiness is really just like a tiny sliver of like everything else that's like going on for a person.
Especially in that moment, right? And I did have some regrets that I like didn't tell Brad in a cuter way, and that we didn't have like a cuter moment. People who like wait to tell their partners, like in order to like order something or like put something together, I'm like, how the fuck do you do that?
Yeah, like, that's kind of what I mean when it's like, you had to have like thought about this in advance. Because imagine like being surprised by the positive and then being like, okay, but I really want to tell them in a cute way. Let me like go on Pinterest and like figure out some ideas and like, you know, take your time like looking into this stuff. That's why I feel like there has to be some kind of like, you know, prior thought put into this. Just for sure. All so wild.
Yeah. So crazy. So yeah, that was kind of like the initial days.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So I don't want to like spend too much time here, but I'm just curious, like what were the things that made you like quote unquote feel ready?
I don't think I necessarily felt ready. I don't think I still feel ready. I think the things that I was factoring in was number one, Brad like really wants kids and really wants to be a dad. Mm-hmm. That was like one thing I was factoring in. I want to see Brad as a dad.
Yeah.
That was another thing. We had made the decision like a few years into our relationship that we were going to have a family. Mm-hmm. So like whether or not I'm ready, I knew that that was a thing that we were at least going to try to do. Right. And then the other things that just made us decide that it was like the right time was just friends having babies, our age, the stuff that we've done in the past few years. Like we really made a point of like traveling and like doing lots of fun stuff and stuff like that. So I think it was like a combination of all of those things. I don't necessarily think that there was ever a moment where I was like, yes, I am ready for my life to be fucking flipped upside down and to become a mom and to go through 9 months of absolute shit show. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was a point of that. It was just like, this feels right. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily feel ready, but it feels like it feels right.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah. Okay, so then you're pregnant, you are with child.
Yeah.
How was the, well, I know how, in a sense, I know from a distance how the first trimester was.
Yeah.
But give us a little snapshot of like your overall experience, because this can be a very rocky time.
Man, the first trimester is insane because people experience it so fucking differently. Mm-hmm. And I have 4 very close friends that are all having babies this year. So 2 are already born. 1 might be being born right now, actually. We're tracking his location and he's at the hospital.
Oh my God.
They're like such freaks. And then 1's being born like 2 months before us. So I have seen my very good friends go through and I've seen them all experience it differently. And my one friend in particular, Shelby, her and I have a lot in common. You know, our lives are the same in terms of like, we work for ourselves from home. We work out, we, you know, have a lot in common. Our bodies are like very similar. So I immediately attached myself to Shelby and I was like, my experience is going to be exactly like hers. And that has not been the case at all. So I think that like made it harder for me. But anyways, first trimester, fucking wild. There's so many things happening. Your body is changing. You have so many emotions around the fact that your body is changing, your life is going to change. All of these things are happening. Like I was so nervous for something bad to happen, which mm-hmm. like something could still happen. Like I'm 23 and a half weeks, something could still happen. But like in that initial trimester, you're thinking about that. You're starting to like do research. I had never fucking researched. I didn't know anything about babies. I literally felt like it was a teenage pregnancy.
Yeah.
Like I was like, and then you're like worrying about, oh, can I eat this? Can I do that? Blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of things, but I think for me, a couple of like the big things that I struggled with was nausea. I never puked, but I just like felt sick all the time and I had to be constantly eating in order
to. Which is so interesting.
It's the opposite of what lots of women experience. Like lots of the stories are like, oh, I didn't eat at all during my first trimester. And I was like, I ate so much because a piece of bread soothed my stomach long enough to like do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was time to like eat again because it was like I was getting sick again. Mm-hmm. So that was like really weird. And because of that, I gained a lot of weight initially,
mm-hmm.
which was also really fucking hard mentally. And we'll get into that we'll get into that here in a minute, but yeah, so there was like those things. So the nausea and like navigating that and just how tired you are, was really hard. Yeah.
You were like, every time we talked, you're like, hey, I'm going for a nap now. It's my second nap of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think the thing that makes those pieces of the first trimester even more challenging is the fact that most people choose not to share their news yet. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a very few people in your life that know what's going on. And so I think that was really hard. It was hard. I was pregnant during the CrossFit Open. So I remember doing that first open workout and Eric was like yelling at me to go faster. And I was like, fuck off. Like whatever. That one was really early that I was like, literally had just found out. And then the second one I just chose to do by myself because it had deadlifts. It was like the deadlift rowing double under one. And I was like, I know that I will push myself too hard if I do this in front of people. Yeah. Where the other one was just like burpees and snatches. I was like, I can only go so fast on those and they're not going to hurt me. Right. Where like that one, I was like, that yeah. could be bad. So I did that one by myself. And then the last one had fucking muscle ups in it. And I just like didn't feel comfortable. I was like, baby's probably fine. But like the way I do muscle ups, mm-hmm. I literally get a bruise on my belly because I
fucking. Yeah, you literally slam that body into the bar.
So I didn't do it. But like no one at the gym knew I was pregnant except for Rachel and one other girl that I had messaged to ask questions about working out. And so that was like so weird. And then just like being tired and like not being feeling like myself without being able to tell people. I think that's probably the hardest thing in the first trimester if you're choosing to wait to tell people. Is just like feeling alone in that and feeling like you want to justify what's happening to people, but you can't.
How, okay, well, you telling me was hilarious because I absolutely ruined that.
You did, ruin how, it. I was so sad.
How far along were you when you told me? I forget, 6 weeks?
I think it was like eight.
Eight, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we chose to tell like our favorite people in like different ways. So we told both of our parents quite early at around 6 weeks, mostly because mm-hmm. my parents were here visiting from Phoenix. And we bought them mugs that said like best grandma, best grandpa and onesies. And Brad bought his dad a pair, like the smallest pair of skates that he could find.
Very cute.
So they were the first people we really told. Uh-huh. And then, yeah, I got Nicola a mug. I sent Nicola this mug that said promoted from bestie to auntie or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And I pretended it was a birthday present. And I was like, I just sent you a birthday present. So make sure you don't open it until we're on FaceTime. Cause I wanted to see her face. Cause I think I told you that we were like thinking about starting to try, but I didn't tell you that we were like, actually.
But then you were like, there were so many, like, we're going to try. No, we're not. We just had right. this counseling appointment. I yeah. don't know if I'm yeah. ready. And so yeah. I was like, yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah. So yeah. And then Nicola fucking texts me the picture of the mug. And she's like, is this from you?
Well, because to be fair to me, had it been a package for me from Sarah, from me. I would have absolutely,
right.
you know, abided by her wishes and yeah. waited. But it just said from Etsy. And yeah. I was like, the fuck? It was also, yeah. like you said, around my birthday.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, a package. How yeah. fun. And I was like, you know, maybe it was something I ordered. Who knows?
Yeah.
So I opened it and then was like, the actual fuck. And I yeah. texted about three people, the only three people who I could think of who yeah. would A, send me a mug like that.
Yeah.
And B, have even been in like the discussion of pregnancy.
Yeah.
But I was like, it has to be Sarah, but also like, what the actual fuck, bitch? Yeah.
I was like out walking Molly and I was like, oh, you ruined it.
And I was like, me ruined it.
Yeah.
You ruined it.
So yeah, that is how we told Nicola. And then we told like our close friend group, like all of like the bridesmaids and mm-hmm. Groomsmen from our wedding. We had a bunch of people over and then Brad just like put the ultrasound picture on the TV, just like randomly.
Like in the background? It was yeah. just on?
It was just like on the TV.
That's creepy. Okay. TV on, yeah.
So, and like four of them were already pregnant. So it was funny because that night we got a picture of all the girls like standing beside each other. None of the babies had been born yet. And like just the bellies. Shelby was like a week overdue at that point. We told Shelby and Lou quite early too, just because we were so excited to tell someone and they were gonna have their baby soon and we wanted to tell them before.
Yeah.
So that one Shelby had given me like the test strips, like the pregnancy test strips. So I like brought the box back to their house and I was like, I don't need these anymore. Yeah. So I think they're actually who we told them before we told my parents. But yeah, so once you,
like, I would tell friends first too.
For sure.
You just like need someone to like relate to like right now.
Yeah. And like, even if you're like, it's nice to tell other people who have kids or who are pregnant because there's like that relatability factor, but even just the having someone know makes it feel a little bit more real.
Totally.
And we like, we told everyone at like 6 to 8 weeks, we didn't wait till that like 12 week period. I know some people choose to wait to that, 'cause that's kind of like that 12 weeks is when people say that, like, if you're going to miscarry, it usually happens before that.
Right, the risk level drops fairly significantly.
Yeah. But for us, we were like, well, if we miscarry, we're going to tell everyone anyways. Mm-hmm. And we want that support there, right? Mm-hmm. So we were like, that didn't necessarily come into factor of like sharing, of like when we were going to share. But yeah, and then I just waited a little bit longer to tell Christy and Eric at work because I was scared. But that was fine. They're the best. So yeah, that was
so fun. Like through this time, you're eating a lot of bread. I remember you texting me, like talking about how you could basically only stomach like sugary carbs, which is seriously like my dream.
Yeah.
You're eating a lot of cereal. Was there anything that you like couldn't even look at that you were like, no, can't do
meat
that?
And vegetables. Yeah. But I was obsessed with eggs.
Weird.
So weird. I remember, and it's so weird because you're like, used to eat, especially like I've spent the last 10 years focusing on my nutrition and my body. So like you're used to eating and liking what you like. And then all of a sudden you like don't like it. Or I remember I would have like an intense craving for something. So like I made this like egg salad with like boiled egg, cottage cheese, avocado. And I was like so pumped for it. And I had like 3 bites. And then I was like, this is fucking disgusting. So just like
finally came to your senses.
Yeah. Things that you normally like, you just like can't stomach anymore. And then things that you never eat. Like I made Brad pick me up McDonald's one night and I haven't had McDonald's for like 4 years.
Yeah. I forgot what you get. You got like a chicken thing, right?
I got a chicken burger and a cheeseburger and fries. And a Diet Coke.
Yeah. Yeah. Baby likes.
I ate it all and I didn't even feel bad after.
Of course you didn't. Baby was like, I'll take another.
Yeah. So yeah, that is weird. That is weird too.
Mm-hmm. And then so like with the open aside in that first little bit, did you have to adjust training too much? I mean, you were tired, so I imagine you trained maybe less or like less intense.
Yeah, I didn't really adjust training at all. I just like, if I was tired, I just didn't push the intensity or push as heavy weight. But like I was still doing the same CrossFit workouts. I was still doing the same strength training workouts. Just maybe to a lesser intensity. And then as I started to get further into it, then I started thinking about like, okay, like we would do hip thrusts on the machine with the belt. And I remember one day at like 14 weeks, I like went to do those and I was like, maybe this isn't great. 'Cause the belt is like right around my uterus. So just like a few things like that, I had to adjust movements. I've definitely made more adjustments now. I would say from week like 18 onward. And since I went and saw my pelvic floor physio, I've made more adjustments just to what movements I'm doing. Like I'm coning really bad.
I don't know what that means.
Coning is like, so your abs separate, right? And coning is when they're like starting to separate. It looks like a Toblerone on your belly when your abs contract. So instead of them laying flat, they like point up because they're like starting to pull apart. Yeah. And so
does it cause like discomfort? Like, do you notice it?
No.
Okay. That feels like it would be painful.
You don't feel it at all. It just looks really weird. And there's like mixed research on like whether it's an actual issue. But I started coning really early in things like any hanging from the bar in a hollow position. So like I was doing butterfly pull-ups probably till week 16, 18. And then when I would like go into a big arch, I would feel like such a stretch in my stomach. And then when I go into the hollow, I was like coning really bad.
Interesting.
And same with sit-ups, same with toes to bar, even ring rows. So I've like had to make a few adjustments to those types of things. And for things like squats and deadlifts and stuff, I'm just not going as heavy. Now that my belly's getting bigger, I have to have like a little bit wider stance. Cause my belly's in the way.
Have you noticed your mobility change?
Not really.
No.
I'm definitely like, I'm getting like some sciatica and my hips are a little bit sore. But like my range of motion is still fine, assuming my belly's not restricting it.
Right.
And then things like cleans. So I went to do a like heavy clean and I like bent my arms too early and I smoked my belly on the bar. And so like those types of things, I'm like, okay, I'll go from the hang because then I can like make sure I'm controlling that. And I'm not doing a lot of like cleans or snatches, mostly because I just don't want to get in bad habits.
Yeah, for sure. Because you're like changing your belly. Yeah, that's very smart. Yeah.
So that's weird. But in terms of strength training, I'm doing a lot of unilateral stuff. They like to do, so like for your pelvic floor and your pelvic position, opposite arm and leg together. So like, for example, a single leg RDL with a row at the top. On the
opposite interesting
side. Or like cross body B stance RDLs or cross body Bulgarian split squats are really good. Anything where your hips are like kind of shifted onto one side is going to help your pelvic position. So I'm doing like a lot of that stuff.
I would not have predicted that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting. And then like today I did legs and I'm just like going fucking ham on like hamstring curls and quad extensions. I'm like, these I can still push the weight and I'm like not putting pressure on my pelvic floor and stuff like that. So yeah, it's like changed a bit, but it's like actually been fun the last few weeks of like making those changes.
Good. I'm glad. Cause I could picture for myself being really frustrated having to train differently.
So it's interesting because so like before I got pregnant, I was in a point where I like was kind of not super into CrossFit. I was like sore all the time, but I like would not fucking scale a workout, even though I should have. Get pregnant, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm scaling every workout. I'm doing whatever the fuck I want today. And it turns out CrossFit's a lot more fun. So it's kind of funny how you like, yeah, it sucks when you think like, wow, I'm not going to do a ring muscle up for like over a year. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, I wish I could just try a bar muscle up right now and see if I could do it.
Right.
Like that is annoying. But when it comes to like your movement now serves a different purpose. For me, at least my experience has been like that purpose is enjoyment and keeping my body moving and staying healthy. And that has taken a lot of pressure off of what I'm doing, which is
No, that's a really good way to look at it.
Yeah,
just like recognizing like there's a different purpose here,
for sure.
That's really helpful. Still hard, I imagine, but helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about the body image side of things, because I know that's something you've been sharing with me a lot more.
Yeah, like all the videos I'm sending you. Like that sneezing
also
video.
Just like us talking about it, but yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I gained about 15 pounds in like by like week 8 to 10. Okay. So that was like a very short period of time, a lot of weight.
Is that a lot more or average?
Honestly, like my midwife doesn't even weigh me.
Yeah. Okay.
Like Shelby didn't weigh herself. Like,
love that.
And what I've been learning more is like, everyone's body is so different. And like, yes, they have these like recommended ranges. I don't even know what it is. I think it's like 30 to 40 pounds or like 20 to 30 pounds or something throughout your entire pregnancy. Yeah. But like, obviously someone who's really small might gain more, someone who's like a little bit bigger might gain less, like, or vice versa. Like, everyone's so different. And I've seen stories of women sharing their experience where like, they're like, and there's girls at the gym, they're like, I literally gained 70 pounds. And like, oh, I did me. Everything. I ate healthy. I exercised. But like, that is just what my body needed to do to carry a healthy baby.
For sure.
And so like, hearing those perspectives were really helpful. But that first trimester and like that initial 15 pounds, and I think I'm up like 25 pounds now, was a mind fuck. And it wasn't even just the scale, because like that 15 pounds was still what I was before I started like my cut for the wedding and stuff. So it wasn't a weight that I hadn't been to before. Whereas now I'm at that weight. But it was more like my pants didn't fit like past 8 weeks. Like I could not fucking do up my jeans. So, and it was still like not warm outside. So I like could only wear Lulus. I was like so uncomfortable in my clothes. It was so weird. And I like have struggled with this a lot and like feeling a lot of shame around it. But like, I felt like I needed to justify getting bigger. And I wanted people to know I was pregnant.
Right.
So before I could share that, it was hard. And then once I could share it, it felt a little bit like I had an excuse.
Yeah.
Which is fucked up. Like that is so fucked up. And that just shows us how much diet culture has like fucked us up.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, I don't know. I would imagine you didn't predict that to be the case.
No, I was like, I have great body image. Like I've fluctuated different bodies and like, I've always felt pretty good about my body. And I've never felt like I have to justify when I'm at a heavier weight or, you know, brag about when I'm at a lower weight. Like I felt like I had such good body image.
And you had worked very hard for that.
For sure. And relationship with food and stuff like that. Right. And so, and the like reflection that I was doing in that time, I think a big piece of it felt or like was tied to this feeling of like not being in control. So like if I was at that 15 pound heavier weight because of the choices that I had made in terms of like food and exercise and stuff, that's one thing. But to feel like I couldn't control it because it was just my body doing what it needed to do to like have a healthy pregnancy, which when I thought about it, I was like, well, getting pregnant was my fucking choice. But that like loss of control was like definitely a leading factor. And I think, and I was feeling shame because I'm like, we always preach that like, it's not about your body. And I was like, well, I'm fucking making it about my body. So I'm a hypocrite. But we also talk about how, okay, if your body didn't change, but you were doing the things and you were taking care of yourself and you were feeling good, would you feel better? And like, that's where I was like, yes, I would. But I wasn't doing those things, partly because I couldn't, partly because I didn't feel like it. And I was just like so tired, right? So yeah, that was like quite a bit of a mind fuck until about a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, like it is very hard for me to imagine. I mean, I think especially, I know everybody, again, just like everything pregnancy is going to experience it so differently. But for like knowing you and knowing like how you have like made it work to like accept your body, go through the trials and tribulations of like being frustrated with your body, doing the self-awareness, the therapy, the like literal work. It's hard to picture myself being like even slightly okay with that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it is such a feat for anybody, but there's like a different layer added to it when you are someone who like also helps other people navigate this, like you said, like feeling like a hypocrite.
Yeah.
But for sure doesn't add to like, you know, the joyous excitement feelings. It's like, yeah, there's some shame, there's guilt around that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really tricky, dude.
Yeah. And then it just brings to the forefront like these biases that we have that we maybe weren't acknowledging, or like, you know, they, because it wasn't like at the forefront in our experience, we weren't, you know, considering that. So yeah, that was really weird. And Fuck, there was one more thing that I was going to mention about that, but I can't remember now. Oh, the other thing is feeling shame about struggling with all of the things that I've shared while knowing that some people want this so bad and can't have it.
Ooh.
And I think that that is like, who am I to be complaining that I've gained 25 pounds when this woman over here has been trying to get pregnant for a year and has paid multiple thousands of dollars for, you know, reproductive or fertility treatments and can't, you know, like it, there's so many conflicting things going on and like feeling grateful that I have a healthy body and a healthy pregnancy, but also not liking how I look, you know, it just, it's a lot of like different opposing thoughts.
Yeah. It's a lot of juggling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and trying to hold like a lot of like very different pieces all at once.
Multiple truths. Yeah. Multiple truths. So yeah, that, I would say like those were all massive things at the forefront of my experience until the last few weeks. Still definitely experiencing like the body image stuff. I went shopping on the weekend and I like, what the fuck is wrong with maternity clothes? Like, I am sorry, but like someone needs to just like make a normal fucking outfit that fits a belly. Like, why do maternity clothes, every maternity clothing option, I feel like I'm like a homesteader on like my 10th child. Like, I feel like that's what I look like. I'm like, this is not anything like that I would
Sarah
ever
the trad fucking, wife.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is not God. Anything that I would ever fucking wear. And like my mom, bless her heart, but like I cannot go shopping with her right now because I'm trying to find clothes that fit my bump that are normal clothes. And so like I bought this shirt from Aritzia, one of those ones that like ties up.
Yeah.
And so you like tie the top one and then you let the belly out the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then I like have a skirt that I've just been like pulling my belly down or pulling down under my belly. And it's so fucking cute. My belly's out, but like my belly was out before I got pregnant. Like I wore crop tops all the time.
Yeah.
And it feels like clothes I would actually wear and I will wear them when I'm not pregnant. And my mom is like, no, you need to go get those jeans that have like the high fucking thing over your belly and stuff. And I'm like, mom. And then a long shirt. I'm like, I don't even own a long shirt. Like I don't have a tight fitting shirt that's longer than my belly button. Like, you know, so besides that.
Yeah. Let's also discuss that you're pregnant during the summer months.
Yeah.
So like, why would you want, you're already feeling uncomfortable. Why would you want to wear jeans?
Yeah.
Why would you add leg prisons to the equation?
Yeah. Well, even like jean shorts and stuff, but I just bought a lot of dresses.
Yeah.
I have a lot of dresses, which is nice. But I do think that like, since we found out that we're having a boy and now that I can like feel him moving inside me, my like thought process has shifted a lot. That first trimester, especially when people don't know what's going on, especially when you're like still nervous about maybe something happening and you can't, even the ultrasound is like just this little fucking blob. Like it just, there's like a piece of it that doesn't feel real, mm-hmm. but you're experiencing all these shitty emotions and like watching your body change. And it kind of feels like, what's the point?
What's the point in what?
In like dealing with all this.
Oh, okay.
Like it feels like there's no purpose to it. Whereas now that we know it's that we're having a boy and now that I can feel him moving and we're starting to like gather shit and like it's becoming more real, it feels like, okay, there's a purpose to this and it's easier to accept those things that I was like struggling with before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you're listening and you're in that beginning period, like just know that like those first like 18 to 22 weeks are just fucking weird, man.
Oh my God, that's a long time. I also love how like you're talking, you have officially transformed into someone who talks about time in a matter of weeks.
Yeah.
Never in my life have I been like, oh yeah, 7 weeks.
Yeah. I know.
A month and a half.
Yeah.
Almost 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, it's a funny little like shift.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just like how it is. That's just like what they talk about, you know, every week you're like, okay, what fruit is it this week? And like, what's happening? So
yeah
hang in there if you're in that initial, and if you're in that initial stage. But I'm definitely feeling a lot better now. Like energy is back. I'm still like struggling with my body, but I feel good moving my body. I've like learned what movements feel good. I'm like eating meat and vegetables again and like enjoying food again. So
thank God for that. It
stays like this for as long as possible.
Can we like touch on that? If you were only eating carbs, essentially sugary carbs, no vegetables, no meat, what was the bowel movement situation?
I have been shitting myself all day every day since I got pregnant. Thank
you. Okay, that's like what I needed.
Constipation is a pregnancy symptom, and I have had the opposite. Like my bowels have been going way more since I got pregnant. I haven't had any issues with constipation at all. Given I'm not taking iron, which I should be taking iron, but I'm not taking it, and I think iron supplements cause a lot of women issues. But yeah, I've been going minimum twice a day, usually like four times.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're seeing the water bill increase at the Williamson household.
Except we were on a water ban because we had that pipe burst. Right. So
but you were still allowed to flush.
Yeah, you're still allowed to flush.
Okay, thank God. Otherwise,
we were letting the yellow mellow a few times.
Yeah, that's normal.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all done. So that's good.
Well, thank goodness for that. Okay.
Yeah. Anywho.
Okay, well, anything else you feel like sharing about that? I mean, I know we've talked a lot about like planning for motherhood and like your thoughts on that and like what you've talked about in therapy and like what it's meant for like changes to relationships. I don't know if you want to share any of that here though.
I feel like the relationship stuff gets pretty deep. But I think, I mean, if I'm going to share like a couple of my personal experiences or things that are going on, the biggest thing and the biggest struggle I think that at least Brad and I have had is the fact, and we talked to our Shelby and Lou about this because Louie is like 3 months now or something. So they've like experienced the whole process of it. But the moment that a woman gets pregnant, her life changes, right? So our bodies, everything that I already discussed changes. I'm already thinking about division of labor, maternity leave, trying to work while I have this baby at home, like all of these things, all the shit that we need, so many things. I'm thinking about that. The man's life doesn't change until the baby actually comes out.
Right. I'm trying to picture Brad, even at
that point, like doesn't change that much sometimes.
I'm trying to picture him like spending his time laying in bed, being like, okay, so we're going to need the diapers, but I wonder, are we going to be people who get the reusable diapers or are we going to be people who buy from Costco? And, you know, like how are we going to decide, you know, who's getting up with the baby and how are we going to introduce Molly to the baby?
He hasn't like, fucking thought about any of those.
Picture him. Things. And that's no shade to Brad. I just like think like that's the reality of it.
It absolutely is. Yeah. And so I think that even before baby comes, that can cause a lot of tension in the relationship. And the struggle that I've been having is feeling that tension, wanting to resolve it, but also feeling guilt that tension is there and that we're not enjoying the last of this time that we have without a baby. Right? And I think that like this was from our experience because we got pregnant so quickly, like we didn't think about that. I didn't think about, wow, I'm going to have a few more months to like enjoy the body that I'm in. Wow, we're going to have a few more months to, you know, do these things that we want to do or whatever, right? And so for Brad, nothing's changed. He's still golfing. He's still doing all these things. He doesn't have the mental load that I have planning for this, right? And so for him, he's like, well, we should still be like doing the things. And I'm like, I'm fucking tired. Like, I don't want to golf 18 holes or like my fucking back hurts when I swing the club that much or like just those things. Right. So it's definitely like it's new territory to navigate, and new conflict to kind of navigate. But I do think that there's a lot of conversations to be had before you actually get pregnant in preparation for the fact that that happens at that point. And the woman's life is completely changed and the man's life doesn't change that much. And even once you have the baby, depending on how you're dividing labor and what the situation is, like sometimes the man's life still doesn't change that much in the first little, right?
Yeah.
So that's been a really big challenge for me as someone who didn't like see myself identifying as mom, someone who has always had such a huge piece of my identity and work, and a huge piece of my self-worth and work and my productivity, like it, yeah. And just not knowing how I'm going to feel and what's going to happen. Like, that's the hardest thing. Like, I have plans of like, okay, well, I'm still going to be doing my nutrition check-ins and like working with my nutrition clients and stuff like that, cause I can do that when he's sleeping or when he's on my tit or, you know, when Brad is working from home or whatever. But I'm like, that might not be the reality. And so that's,
yeah, like you might be like literally just passing out.
Yeah. Yeah. He might be super colicky. I might not be able to put him down. Like, there's so many things. And so it's hard to plan. And like, again, that's just something that I'm thinking of that my partner's not thinking of, right? For him, he's going to take 2 weeks off. He's going to be at home. He's going to lose some sleep. Then he's going to go back to work. 2 weeks
only? Wow.
Yeah. So, but he'll be working from home after that, right? Mm-hmm. So that he can help a little bit. But for us and the situation we're in, like Brad makes more money than me. So it makes sense for me to take more time away from work than he does. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it just is the reality. We have a friends at the gym who's the opposite. She's a doctor. He's a teacher. He's on pat leave. She's already back at work.
Wow. Yeah. Right? I mean, and it really, it does just like what works best for the two of you.
For sure.
But yeah, lots to freaking think about.
So much to think about. Yeah.
Not me over here. Just like, panic.
Yeah. You just like, get to hear the other side of it. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, I'm never going to like complain about period cramps. I'll be like, oh, God bless.
Yeah. You did complain about periods. You were like, I remember when I first told you and you sent me a message and you were like, well, at least you don't have to get your period for 9 months. And I was like, fuck you. Like, try to be pregnant. It's so much worse. I was like, I would happily welcome my period.
Yeah. Grass is always greener, I suppose. Yeah.
Grass is always greener.
Yikes.
So, yeah. It's been an interesting journey. Everyone keeps telling me that motherhood teaches you more about yourself than any other life experience. And I'm definitely like starting to embrace that now instead of just like being so against like having mother as like a big part of my identity.
I mean, no one's ever going to call you mother.
I know, but like,
can you imagine if you raised it? Okay. But there are some names you've picked out for this boy that like, that would be a kid that would grow up to be like mother. Just saying.
Like what?
I'm not going to share some of the names.
Okay.
But yeah, you'll be a cute little mama.
Yeah. But whatever, regardless of what you're calling it, you know what I mean? You know, like that is part of my identity. Yeah. And I'm like embracing that now. And I'm like, okay, like, let's get excited about that instead of just focusing on like all of the things that it's taking away from me.
Again, let's juggle those two things.
Well, it is taking things like,
no, I know, but just the casual nature in which you were like, yeah, focusing on what it's bringing me, not every single thing that it's taking away. There was just a smidge of an attitude.
There was, Well, also, he's not here yet. So I feel like once he's here and he smiles,
totally.
Like, stuff, it, like, it's so different. Yeah, but
when you smell his little baby head.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say his diaper.
Oh, no. That's definitely an addition.
Yeah.
A new aromatherapy.
Yeah, there you go. So... yeah, I don't know. It'll be an experience. We can do another episode when I'm like 4 months into it and see how we're fucking.
And I'll be like, Sarah, on. You fell asleep again? Sarah.
Wakey, wakey. Yeah. I'm hoping by that point, because we're due end of October. I'm taking November, December. Baby. Yeah, fuck. I'm glad it's a boy, though. I'd rather have a Scorpio boy than a Scorpio girl. I'm taking November, December off of coaching at the gym. Mm-hmm. And then I'm planning on going back in some capacity in January. So that'll be like 2 months. 2 months off? That's my plan. We'll see.
Yeah, TBD.
We'll revisit this. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like I'm definitely going to be one of those moms that like needs to get out of the house and do stuff. Or I'm going to literally, bad things are going to happen.
Yeah, I see that for you. For sure.
So yeah, that's my experience so far, part of it.
Well, great. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, hope that resonated with some people.
Not me.
Yeah, Nicholas, you just reinforced my decision to never have fucking children.
Yeah, thank you. This is helpful for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah,
either way, whichever way it goes.
It's either going to be inspiring or really good birth control.
That's right.
There you go.
Wrap them. Okay. Fuck yes. Fuck no. What do we got?
Ah, fuck yes. Well, we sold our house and we bought a new house. So that's very exciting. That's
yeah, thank God.
Forefront. Yeah. I would say those are our biggest fuck yeses right now.
Yeah.
What about you?
Okay. I just realized that I just haven't come to terms with the fact that like I'm in my final 2 days of freedom for the next 13 months in a very different way. Like your life has changed.
You start your thing in 2 days?
Yeah, I go back to school on Saturday. Oh, and my capstone starts on Saturday. My new semester starts on Saturday. And then that goes till end of July. And basically August, and my practicum starts.
Shit.
Yeah. So I had some fun. But mm-hmm. my fuck no was like, I'm not ready. I need like another 2 weeks of break. Right. I think.
Capstone will be fun though. No? Okay.
Will it? You have a year to write a 75-page, very specific paper.
Yeah, but you get to choose a topic. Did you pick your topic?
No.
No, haven't decided yet.
Yeah, that's not boding well either, because the first, like I read the agenda for Saturday's capstone course, and one of the things is discussing and getting feedback about your selected topic.
Right, perfect.
I was like, great, I'll just crowdsource for some ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I have a general theme. I just like, it has to be a very specific topic, and mine right now is like very broad with no direction beyond that, so we'll see.
Well, you will maybe figure
have a I'll have some kind of fever dream about it tonight.
Perfect. So that's a fuck yes and a fuck no then. Fun weekend, you passed your comps. Mm-hmm. Brandon was home. Fuck yes. Mm-hmm. School starts again in 2 days, and that's your life for the next 13 months. Fuck no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And also my truck is still dead. So
that's sad.
That's really sad.
That's sad. Well, my fuck no was the maternity clothes sitch.
Yeah, for real.
Oh, there's that. Our AC is broken right now too, and it's supposed to get like high 20s this week. So that's also fun. Yeah.
I feel like that's not even that hot. Not minimizing this for you, but that feels like not that hot for Calgary right now.
No, it's not. It's been shit.
Okay.
It's been shit. Crazy. No, you're not crazy. Stampede also starts tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I assume you're definitely going.
Well, I'm going with Brad's work tomorrow. Yeah. So Brad's taking all his employees and their spouses out for lunch and then to the grounds after.
Well, that's nice.
And, you know, I am his spouse, so I'm going in solidarity.
Go get some chicken fingers.
Yeah, I am gonna eat all of the foods on the thing.
And like I don't know what. I've never gone. I have no idea what kind of food.
You've never been to the Stampede?
No, I mean, this like should not surprise you.
Yeah, that's fair.
Should not surprise you.
But like people who don't like country go to Stampede all the time. It's fine. Anyways, I'm gonna find a cute outfit though, with my cowboy boots.
I mean, just dress like the homesteader.
You'll fit right in. Yeah, there we go.
Throw a pair of cowboy boots on with your homesteader outfit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have some cute dresses and I could wear that like shirt skirt combo with my cowboy boots. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. Girl, I follow and like listen to her podcast. She talks about how she wants to get pregnant because she wants to wear her belly as an accessory.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
She like is in the same mind where she's like, I'm still going to dress adorable and wear the cutest outfits, but like I just have a belly hanging out and it's an accessory. So channel that.
Well, the thing about that is like some women don't gain weight anywhere else in their body. So that works. Whereas me, I've gained weight everywhere in my fucking body. So like, even if something's bump friendly on someone else who is like smaller, like I need a freaking 5XL in order to fit it over my rib cage or my lats or my shoulders or my thighs. And then it's not bump friendly. It's not Sarah's bump friendly. It might be.
Well, you can still channel bump as accessory.
I am trying to channel that.
Yeah. And your mom can deal with it.
Suck it. Just kidding. Yeah,
suck it, Linda.
I don't think she listens to these. I hope not.
I hope not too. Sorry, Linda. But I do love you, Linda, but no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop. Turn it off.
Yeah. Anywho, I think that's enough for today. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm definitely never having sex again, so this has been great. This has been fantastic.
We don't know what our next episode is. We should probably decide.
We did talk about the
hot takes,
but like different how we've done it in the past. So it's like a advice,
right?
Asking for advice on all the random stuff, not necessarily promising we're going to give you scientific or any kind of peer-reviewed or accredited advice. It literally just might be off the cuff. This is how I feel about whatever you've just said.
Yeah. And it can be anything from like relationships to like your own health and wellness journey to like fucking literally anything.
Should I go back to grad school? Yeah. Absolutely not.
Should I quit my job?
Should I invest in a 91 Chevy? You know, all the life questions that you
need
help with. We are going to put on our genius hats and help you.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, well, we will do that one next.
We'll post on Instagram too. We're 100% calling that episode Helpers Helping the Helpless.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah, it's like blind leading the blind.
Yeah. Perfect. Can't wait. Okay, so we'll post about that. So stay tuned.
But if you're listening and you have some ideas, send us a message on Instagram.
Yeah, please and thanks. Let's get the ball rolling with some good ones.
Okay. Well, I need to go eat because I worked out how to prep before and haven't eaten since then.
I'm really hungry.
Go. What are you going to have?
What am I going to have? Rest day, meal two, chicken, rice, broccoli slaw with green sauce from Costco. Yum.
I'm going to have a scramble with chicken sausage and sweet potatoes and veggies and eggs.
Good for you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Protein, vegetables. Protein.
Yeah,
raw.
Yeah. Fiber, we're all good. Hey, team. Well, we will see you next week.
Yes.
Thanks for being here.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.